I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to George Norrie with Dr. Lori Nadel. Lori, tell us about the horse that rejected your advice.
Yeah, so the horse said, didn't want Reiki, I don't know you, go away. And my friend just started laughing and she said, oh, that sounds just like Lizzie. She knew that that was an authentic response from her horse.
She knew her horse.
She knew her horse, and the horse was very, very blunt, I guess is the word I would use. I had another experience with a horse. My publisher, HCI Books, published my last book, The Five Gifts. And I was talking to him. He owns a number of racehorses. And I asked him if there were any horses that might want to receive, if he might want to receive Reiki. And he gave me the name of one of his horses that had won a couple of big purses. But ever since then, the horse would start off okay, and about a third of the way around the track, the horse would stop and just walk off the track, just stop and walk away. Hmm. And the jockeys could not get this horse to complete running around the track. So I started offering Reiki, and the horse showed me that there was something going on with his peripheral vision, and that it was very difficult for him to manage distance perception. So he couldn't tell how close or how far away the other horses were when he came around the curve, and that it was disorienting for him, and so he had to stop. And he said he was very disappointed in himself, that he would keep trying. And so I passed that information on, and I said, I don't know if there's any way you can, you know, are there ophthalmologists for horses? I don't know how they could possibly check for that or test that. But my boss, you know, my publisher said, well, you know, keep trying. And I would communicate with, I would offer Reiki to the horse, Unionizer. And Unionizer kept saying, I really want to run, and I really want to race, and I really want to win again. I watched him one day after he had told me he was really ready to go race. And a third was sitting in an OTB parlor, and about a third of the way around the track, the horse, he just stopped and he walked off.
Jeez, that's unheard of.
Yeah. And so at that point, my boss called me and he said, listen, you need to tell this horse. He said that we've invested a lot in him, and we need him to be a leader and inspire the other horses, the younger horses, and you need to tell him that. And I couldn't exactly say to him that's, you know, I don't want to be rude. I'm going to say, hey, that's not my job. My job is to offer the horse Reiki, and the horse can accept it or not accept it. And if I'm blessed by having the horse trust me enough to give me information or impressions, then I'm happy to pass on that message. But when I sat with Unionizer again one or two more times, he said, I really feel like a failure. I'm so disappointed. I need to retire. I can't do this anymore. And the last time I checked in with my boss, he said that, in fact, they had decided to retire Unionizer. And so he's now, I think they have him in a different part of the pasture. But they have kept him. And I think they're using him for breeding, but he's not racing anymore. But see, what I found interesting was that the horse was telling me that he knew something was wrong. He knew that his balance was off. He knew that he would feel disoriented, and you know, the noise. And I don't know if you've ever had a peripheral vision problem, especially when you're driving. Because I had one for a couple of years.
No, thank God I haven't.
At night, because I couldn't tell, the lights were flashing, and I couldn't tell anything that was happening on the left side of the car, you know, the driver's side of the car. So I could really empathize with, you know, what the horse was describing. But again, even with humans, I mean, it's a very hard thing to diagnose, and it's a very hard thing to treat. But the horse was telling me exactly what he was experiencing, and emotionally as well as physically. And it was very, what can I say? It was very frustrating for me that I wasn't able to offer him Reiki that was going to fix the situation. It was also very frustrating for me that my boss seemed to think that it was my job to give his horse instructions. I mean, that's not something that Reiki is designed to do,
right.
And nor do I think it's my place to tell, you know, anyone, whether it's a person or whether it's an animal, what I think is best for them. And the school of Reiki that I'm trained in...
If you did, every racetrack would have you there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, or fortunately for the horses, they know better than we do, as all animals know better than we do what they need in order to heal. And that's the real gift of, it's called a let animals lead method of Reiki, because the animal has to, animals know when they're getting ready to pass. Animals know, when they're getting to the end of their journey. Animals are very sensitive to what we're going through, and they don't need us to fix them. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. You know, they don't need a Reiki practitioner like myself to sit down and say, okay, now I'm going to send Lizzie the horse Reiki because her human wants me to fix her and send her Reiki. Doesn't work that way. And I think the beauty of this particular approach is that an animal is a sentient being who has consciousness and who has the right to make the choice to either say, yes, I want to move towards this unconditional kindness and stillness that's being offered to me, or I'm not in the mood, or I don't think this is going to, doesn't feel right for me.
My grandmother used to own cats, Lori.
Oh.
And it seems like whenever they got to an older age, 19, 20 years old, close to the time they're going to die, they would take off. They would escape. They would leave. And these were cats that would go out and come back, go out, come back. Well, they never came back. And we always thought that they knew they were going to die, and they went off someplace and passed away.
Well, I think that cats are basically wild animals that we've domesticated, and especially cats that are outdoor cats. I've had that happen a couple of times where the cat was their time. And there was one cat, in fact, I let him out in the morning with the other two cats that I had, and I was planning on calling the veterinarian, you know, that afternoon when he came back. He never came back. So, he didn't have any symptoms. He was eating normally, but he'd gotten very, very, very thin. And I realized that, you know, he needed to get checked out. But I guess, you know, he must have picked up that I was planning on taking him to the doctor, and he thought, yeah, I'm not going. So he just took off, and I think it was his time. And some animals know, you know, that they actually, I had one animal that I was sitting with Reiki, and he told me that he knew that his time was coming, and that he wanted to, how he put it, he said he wanted to face into it like his feline ancestors. He had a very strong, noble kind of presence to him. So he wasn't afraid, and he wanted to die with courage and presence. Very inspiring.
It is remarkable, to be sure. What is the Let Animals Lead method?
Let Animals Lead method was developed, I guess, I don't know the word, it's not invented, but it was kind of it evolved from the work that a young animal Reiki practitioner had been doing with animals. Her name is Kathleen Persaud. She's based in California, and she has really been as the founder of the Let Animals Lead method. And what this method is that, you know, our job as Reiki practitioners is to, again, to sit in a real place of stillness and to offer an animal unconditional kindness and reassurance and safety and love. And just, you know, for an animal or for a person, just to know that somebody somewhere is thinking of them with that unconditional kindness can really be remarkable.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing
right now?
Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you've done a lot of work in the area of precognitive dreams, too, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Tell me about that. How did that start?
I've had precognitive dreams. I started having them when I was about 11 years old. And I really believe that we all have the ability. I think, you know, Dr. Rhine, who did this study.
J.B. Rhine, yeah.
J.B. Rhine with the Rhine Deck, one of the first controlled studies of ESP. They did studies on precognitive dreams, and they found that so many of us have them, and in many other cultures and societies around the world, it's considered a normal part of life. So when you have a precognitive dream, it's important to talk about it with somebody who will validate that the dream has a message. And of course, we don't know until the event in our waking life reveals itself that that's what the dream was telling us about. I've had dreams about people that I haven't met yet, and then I meet them within 2 weeks usually. I've had dreams about things that were going to happen in my family. I had a dream, actually the first precognitive dream I had was about a pet. I had a pet parakeet, and in this dream the bird was lying dead at the bottom of his cage. And a few days later, my grandparents were bringing my pet bird back from upstate New York. And as soon as the car arrived, I ran out, and there was the bird lying dead at the bottom of the cage.
Oh, geez.
And I don't know whether I was more upset. You know, I was horrified that the bird was dead, but what absolutely completely freaked me out was the fact that I had dreamt that exact scene a few nights earlier.
There you go.
Very scary for a child.
Absolutely. But it stuck with you, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And then when I went on to write my book, Sixth Sense, we have several chapters on dreaming and precognitive dreaming. Because I think that, you know, very often we have this ability as children, but then, you know, we get shamed for it, or it gets poo-pooed, or we're ostracized, or we're told that, that wasn't really a precognitive, you know, you couldn't possibly know that from a dream. Or my favorite demeaning put down is, well, it was just a dream, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Dreams are very important. You know, we spend so much of our life asleep, and we receive all kinds of messages in dreams, both from our inner self and from spirits, from entities, from animals, and from higher beings. Many people have guides and angels who appear to them in dreams.
They are powerful tools, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I think it's really important, you know, to journal and to write down. If you can't write down the entire dream, then I always ask people, especially if I'm working one-on-one with somebody, take note of your dreams. When you wake up, write down the first two or three words that come to you when you wake up, because then we'll be able to kind of tease it out and discover what is the real message of the dream. What is it bringing to you in terms of a message for growth or for guidance, or even can be a dream about something that hasn't happened yet, something that will be revealed.
Why are some people better dreamers than others?
You know, I certainly think that it's genetic. I really think that a lot of our, just as some people are very gifted in mathematical ability, musical ability, some people are innately intuitive, and dreaming is it's one way in which our intuition signals us. You know, intuition or sixth sense, it functions like a satellite dish in the brain, and it's able to pick up impressions. Some of the impressions may be from sources that we don't understand. It could be entities. It could be intelligences. It also could be messages from our own unconscious or subconscious. And the ability to receive guidance in a dream that helps to give us a sense of direction and purpose Some people just have a natural facility for that, and it's like artistic ability or musical ability or mathematical ability.
Lori, what is your take on the collective consciousness?
Well, it's funny you should ask that. I think our collective consciousness in this country is wounded.
It's been wounded.
Not the most profound statement ever made, but you know, we've become such a fractionated, fragmented society, collective consciousness. We're turning against, like, our collective consciousness is at war with itself, and it's actually very sad to see what's happened to it. I think that we do have obviously I'm not the only one. Carl Jung believed that we have a collective consciousness and that it contains archetypes, universal symbols, myths, and you know, of course, now we're being bombarded with memes and you know, viral images and things that kind of spread very, very quickly and affect millions of people, right?
Absolutely.
Oh.
And it is dramatic, to be sure.
Yeah.
We're going to take calls next hour with Lori Nadel, and her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. She's got one especially for the animals called animalreikiplanet.com. And you can text her a picture of the animal for her to do a little legwork for you to 305-778-1772.
Thank you.
What is the most gratifying aspect of working with animals for you?
I feel it's a privilege to be for an animal to trust me, for an animal to feel comforted by anything that I might be able to share or offer. And I think that the big secret for me about doing this work is that really animals heal me. And I'm the one who receives the healing. So that's really the great gift and the great blessing.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern. And go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.